because that's what it ended up in being, a money laundering human trafficking operation right through that base. I had provided evidence that there was two murders on that base, and I was working there at the time, and there was no investigation. So that was the most frightening of all. Still to this day, there are two unsolved cases for the two men that I know were killed. I was actually afraid of half of my leadership. They were so they were so bad. People were afraid to go to training at that base. They have like CIA tactics that they would use if you got out of line. They would purposely make you feel bad in front of the rest of the troops, or purposely say lies about you, or it was intimidation tactics. There was all these tactics being used and that weren't normal, that I had never experienced in the military before. It was like they weren't even military. It was like they were CIA. And I think some of them were. I don't even think they were soldiers. I think they were actually operatives at that base.
I'm proud to share with you Tetragen, which helps you transition to a healthier, happier, and thinner you without cravings or side effects. Our metabolic hormones are the underlying problem that doom every diet and exercise program to fail. They control our metabolism, cravings, how much we eat to feel satiated, blood sugar levels, and even our energy levels. Tetragen is formulated with four clinically proven patented ingredients that help rebalance your metabolic hormones in roughly 15 to 20 days, depending on the amount of weight you want to lose. Once your metabolic hormones are rebalanced, you'll be on the path to long-term, sustainable weight loss, because Tetragen is the first in the world which is scientifically formulated with four clinically proven and patented active ingredients to help you reach your targeted weight in two distinct phases. Phase one, rebalance your metabolic hormones, and phase two, accelerate fat loss. The best part is that Tetragen comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose besides weight? Learn more with the link below. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This episode, I have a military whistleblower coming to the program. Her name is Debbie Davis, and she's the one that blew the whistle on the money laundering that was going on through the Arizona military base. And that was a big deal. $2.7 million was actually uncovered based on her whistleblowing. It was in the media, and I have a copy of that clip that I'll show you. But since then, there has been, I mean, that was just the tip of the iceberg. I don't know the actual numbers, but from people we're hearing is that they've uncovered quite a bit more since Trump came into office. Before then, and you'll hear her story, she was really not taken seriously, and much retaliation. Like most whistleblowers, their life is a living hell until they get some support from some leadership, which Trump has, hooray, amen, has brought in support for these people, and starting to click support for our police and good military people, people who are trying to clean up the trafficking. So we finally have somebody that are taking those people seriously. And from what I understand from her testimony, that military base was as crooked gets. There are indications that it could have been used for trafficking children, human trafficking, and money laundering. It was all tied together. But the people at the base were not right. And she talks about them and how the atmosphere was so corrosive and so not what she was used to, that there was something. There was also two murders there that were not investigated. And she's going to talk about that. She was in the middle of a nest, a corrupt trafficking nest, and she exposed that. And since then, her life has been in danger. And so coming forward on a show like this is very important. Sharing this material is very important just to keep her safe and people like her safe. And I want to thank you. She shows so much courage. People like her are so courageous. They're the heroes in our country. And I got to tell you, this is the reason why we're seeing this craziness, this impeachment craziness with Donald Trump. They are running scared, and they're running scared because more and more of this stuff is being exposed. People like Debbie Davis have come forward and exposing this corruption, and Trump and his team are taking it seriously. And when they say end the swamp, this is what they mean by ending the swamp. And people who are still clueless as to what's going on need to understand that this is why we're seeing this craziness. The media who are backing this impeachment, they are traitors. They're being treason because underneath all this is what he's cleaning up and why this crazy behavior we're seeing play out with this impeachment fiat clown act. Everybody knows who has any kind of critical thinking, intellectually honest, knows that that impeachment is a farce and a scam and a sham and just another dumb thing that they're trying to pin Trump on and trying to get the gullible people in this country who have been brainwashed to believe that that is real. But let's get into this really good interview with a very courageous military soldier, Debbie Davis. Hi, Debbie. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
I have heard some really good things about your work and what you've been doing. You are a whistleblower that shared information on what was going on on a base in Arizona, and high-level politicians were involved, like John McCain, and you worked for the National Guard, but you were full-time. I remember hearing that. And it has gotten the attention of Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, and you've won some awards and at least got some recognition from him on this. Can you talk about that before we get into the details of what you learned on this base? What did you do? You brought a lot of documents to him and went to Trump Tower. What happened? How did you get involved from that perspective?
So I didn't know Donald Trump personally. But I just felt like he was the most genuine of all of the people running. And I had a lot of disdain against Hillary, for sure, you know, but I felt like he was very genuine, and I felt like he would do a good job. And I was just so thankful that he won. And so shortly after he got the inauguration, shortly after he was just president-elect, I meant. I thought, well, I need to get him this information of what I saw at that base somehow. And I thought, well, you know, when he gets in the White House, it might be hard to reach him. So maybe I could drive to Trump Tower and see if I could catch him. And that's what I did. I drove to Trump Tower in around December of 2016. And I had a whole big stack of things that I had seen at that base. I didn't know exactly what was involved. It ended up involving human trafficking. That's why I was on the Daniel Lee show, because that's what it ended up in being, a money laundering human trafficking operation right through that base. But I didn't know at the time. I just knew what I saw and what I had experienced, and myself and others. And I had a whole stack of things that were retaliation that had happened to me. And I had evidence that it wasn't true. I had the evidence that I was wrongly retaliated against for reporting certain things. So I had provided evidence that there was two murders on that base. And I was working there at the time, and there was no investigation. So that was the most frightening of all. And there was no investigation. They did an internal investigation of the base, but there was no outside investigation of any kind. And there's still to this day, there are two unsolved cases for the two men that I know were killed.
Before we go into the details of what actually happened on the base, because that's pretty explosive just right there. You just said a whole bunch.
Yep.
You met with... did you actually meet with Donald Trump, or did you, before he was president-elect at this point, you met with the Secret Service? Did you actually?
Yeah, Secret Service.
You met with the Secret Service and you gave them all the documents. How do you know that President Trump personally saw this and that this led to them making actions against, it's part of their human trafficking goal, you know, agenda? How do you know that? What happened after that?
Well, I started receiving awards from President Trump. You know, here's one, you know, started receiving because I had given my, so this is one of four. So I know that I was had reached the White House, but he was on the phone with the Secret Service when I was there. And and he thanked me for coming. And I was speaking to the Secret Service for about an hour. And they were very nice. Yeah. So he was on the phone. So he...
President Donald Trump, he was president-elect, personally thanked you for going there and giving this information.
He was on the phone with Secret Service. Yeah. Okay. And he was on the phone when I was there.
Oh, he was on the phone. You were talking to the Secret Service and
he was on the phone with the Secret Service.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were exchanging messages with him on what they were hearing from you.
Yeah, basically. Yep, it was my understanding. And they, you know, just asked me questions for an hour. They did a background check on me to make sure who I was and that I had this military background, a whole background check, you know, before I got in, was allowed to even go in the Trump Tower. So I was surprised I even got in because it was surrounded by Secret Service at that time, you know. And I just somehow was able to get in and say that, I just really feel that he needs to know this information. I'm a military whistleblower. And I got in and they just did a background check and sat down with me for a good hour.
Well, it's important. Being a military whistleblower is something that's pretty significant. Okay, yeah. So let's get into the details of what you found on this base. And, you know, I got to say, this is an example of what they're finding all over the country that is freaking out the deep state and the establishment. And that's why they want to impeach Trump. The real reason they're trying to take down Trump is because he's cleaning up this gravy train of evil they had for so long. And you are a perfect example of some of the stuff that you exposed. And people the average person doesn't realize this is going on behind the scene, and yours was a real deal. Okay, so you exposed what was going on in this base. It was a human trafficking, money laundering base where there's two murders, and this base was used for that. Now, can you talk about how you learned what was actually going on in this base, and, you know, just tell us the details about the base.
Okay, well, I had mentioned in Daniel's video that it mostly was, I had already been in the military for many years, 8 years prior in Minnesota, and you're from Minnesota too, I'm from Minnesota, and the Minnesota Guard was just completely on the up and up. There wasn't any weird things going on. I showed up, people were professional, there was good leadership. And I moved to Arizona and I rejoined the Guard in 2006, and I was on the border mission and different things like that. And then I ended up working. I ended up getting a full-time position with the Arizona National Guard. But I I noticed right away with the Arizona National Guard that the leadership was just something very different than what I was used to in Minnesota. And I wasn't sure why any more people weren't saying anything. I felt very uncomfortable.
Just a general lack of respect. Is that what
I was actually afraid of half of my leadership. They were so they were so bad. People were afraid to go to training at that base. There was they were terrifying. They would they have like CIA tactics that they would use if you got out of line. They would purposely make you feel bad in front of the rest of the troops, or purposely say lies about you, or it was intimidation tactic. There was all these tactics being used and that weren't normal, that I had never experienced in the military before. It was like they weren't even military. It was like they were CIA. And I think some of them were. I don't even think they were soldiers. I think they were actually operatives at that base.
If people are so evil that they can do human trafficking, then it makes sense that they're that would be projected in how they treat everyone around them. But keep continuing. I'd like to hear more about you thought they were very abusive to you and to others. And then what led you, and how did you figure out that there was more behind this?
Well, I really didn't know. And I think that's what saved me, exactly what I didn't really know. I started seeing some Q posts that mentioned the Arizona National Guard and human trafficking. This is after I had been to Trump Tower. I didn't know when I was working there that it had to do with that.
So what did you expose then at Trump Tower?
Oh, the 2 point, I exposed a huge embezzlement scandal. So I'll start over. So when I was working there full time, I was working not too far away from the emergency relief fund in the main offices, where the finance offices and everything. Okay, where all the money was flowing. And we started noticing a girl that worked in the emergency relief fund noticed firsthand that an officer was making illegal withdrawals from the emergency relief fund. Okay, and there's a relief fund in each state. So just openly, he was making illegal withdrawals and nobody knew where the money was going. That money was supposed to be set aside for soldiers and their families in each state. And, you know, it's emergency, it's for the emergency things that happen after deployment or whatever. No, he's just going in and making illegal withdrawals. Okay. And they kept trying to say something internally. And also there was all kinds of weird stuff going on in the finance office. So all kinds of weird things that seemed to all care nothing more about the finance office, and they didn't seem to care anything about health and welfare of the troops. They all seemed to have this agenda that all seemed to center around money at that base. That's all it was about. It was all about the money. It was major stuff always going on at the finance office and in certain areas. But like, as far as training and as far as leadership, there was none. You know, so it just wasn't normal. It wasn't a normal base, the way they operated.
So it really put red flags up. And so how did you saw paperwork that showed that they were stealing. How much money did you ultimately witness being stolen?
I didn't personally, I turned it in. I'm the one who reported it outside of the big 2.7 million.
But how much?
2.7 million.
How much?
2.7 million.
Okay, so there could have been a lot more than 2.7 million, but that's just the paperwork or what you actually had. Now, the behavior was pretty weird. What was the two murders that you learned about?
Hey, let me just finish the one part of the story so people understand. So then we had tried to report it internally. Okay, so while we were working there, them and myself had tried to report multiple things, and it was always just ignored by the general and the whole chain of command. Okay, so I ended up going outside the base and reporting it to Governor Jan Brewer's military liaison. And then his name was Timothy Adkins, and then he sent it to the Arizona Auditor General. But then it was weird because then shortly after I sent it to him, he wasn't there at the governor's office. So some people think that Governor Jan Brewer was involved too, because then he disappeared. But I think he had already sent it to the Auditor General, and they audited the base and found that it was a total of 2.7 million. So if you Google Arizona Guard embezzlement, you'll see the whole story. It says an employee raised concerns. So that was me.
Okay, cool. Okay, good.
And it says they found 2.7 million. So it was just that. So then I knew, okay, I definitely was on to something. But when I was working there, there was a guy named Carl Markovich who was working there full time. I don't know, you know, just, I don't know what his exact position was, but I know that he was also a good guy and trying to do the right thing, you know, like he was a decent soldier, you know. And anyway, he shows up for drill one day on a Saturday, and somebody right on the base had came up behind him and split his throat.
Oh, geez.
Right on the base, he was murdered. And it still to this day is an unsolved case.
What did he know?
There was no investigation. And I was working there full time. and so I didn't see any investigation, and I wasn't asked any questions.
What did the guy know? What do you think he knew?
I think he was picking up the same thing I was, that there was something extremely wrong involving money laundering of some kind, possibly weapons laundering. I really truly believe that a lot of the officers there were not even military. I believe they were CIA, and I believe this whole thing with Trump right now, this whole whistleblower thing against him right now. I believe that's John Brennan, the ex-CIA guy that's behind that. John Brennan was just about as evil as Hillary, I think.
Why? Why? What do you know?
I believe that half the people on that that base were CIA. I don't believe they were Army. They didn't act anything like what normal Army officers are supposed to act like. Okay, I don't believe they were. And they used these weird tactics, intimidation tactics, like they were experts at it. They were experts at interrogation, intimidation. Those are CIA tactics. That's why I don't think they were officers. I think they were trained operatives. They didn't act like a normal, you know, they didn't care about my welfare or my well-being. They cared about intimidation and you shut up or else, or we're, you know, that type of thing. That's not a normal military base.
It's like being in the middle of a mob operation.
Yeah, they acted like they were mobsters or something, not military officers. And the only organization that I can think of that would act like that or that has training like that would be CIA, right?
Very, very thug-like behavior.
Thug-like behavior.
With no compassion or feelings towards others.
Zero. I was terrified of half of them.
But well, criminal organizations are also like that, you know, and I suppose that's the CIA is a criminal organization. Now, were you there when the second murder happened as well?
No, that was actually prior to me working there, but I heard about it. So it was another guy, I believe his name, I don't know the exact spelling. There was an article in the Valley, Arizona Valley paper that in the Google and everything that said, looking for Valley veterans killers, And it was his name and Carl Markovich, and they still were unsolved cases. But now you can't find that article, but I've got a clip of it. So, but I believe his name is Brandon Kuzmit, and it was in about 2009, which was just a little bit before I worked there, but I had heard about it. He was just driving home on his motorcycle, and an unmarked SUV came behind him and rammed him off the road off his motorcycle and then came back and ran him over. So, and it was an unmarked SUV, and it was still to this day the case is unsolved. And he was somebody from the base.
And from as far as you could tell, they didn't care. I mean, they didn't work hard to solve these.
No, and I actually called the hotline because it said for a while there was a hotline you can call. And I believe I have tips of what happened there. And because I believe that they're the same people are after me, and nobody ever returned my call. Nobody ever returned my call. So I believe this was some kind of big, big, way higher than just the base.
Okay. Well, the base. Yeah.
Okay. This is so crazy. It's so crazy that it's hard to wrap around, but we have to start somewhere. You know what I mean?
Well, a military base doing operations like that through a military base is as serious as it gets. And you uncovered a money laundering scheme. And behavior that was thuggish and different than anything in the Army is supposed to be. Yes. So right there, it's a bunch of red flags and they should go in and investigate it. Right. But after, and murders, which were not investigated properly.
Yeah.
And then after that, I mean, this should be a full-blown whistleblower all over the place kind of story. This is a big deal.
Yeah.
And then what did you find out after you left? You found more clues connecting like John McCain and governors and all sorts of people to this base. Now, do you have proof that they're connected to this base? And tell your story on that.
No, I don't. So after I had gone to Governor Jember's office, I was immediately retaliated against inside my base. I was immediately fired from my job, my full-time job. And then I was literally pushed into a room surrounded by these officers that I already was scared of. Cause I thought the governor was gonna help. I didn't think she would make things worse. Okay, I mean, after I went there to try to, I was trying to get help outside the base and I ended up getting retaliated against. And I was just seeking help. I wasn't seeking more retaliation, you know. So I was furious. But I was literally given an option of either a medical discharge or a dishonorable discharge. And they intimidated me into just taking the medical, because I believed that they were going to do everything that they could to smear me and put me out. Any way they could, they were going to try to put me out on a dishonorable, even though I didn't do anything honorable.
I mean, they shoved you in a room and said, you're fired and you can either.
Yes.
And they just made up a medical thing just to get rid of you?
Yeah, there was no medical board. Usually I had, after I did this interview on Daniel Lee's show, I had all kinds of people writing in that were military, and they said, that's crazy. It's really hard to get a medical discharge. It's really normally hard to get a medical discharge because you have to go in front of a medical board and prove that you're not able to serve anymore. I passed all my PT tests. There was absolutely nothing wrong with me physically. I was forced out of medical. There was nothing wrong with my mental health. There was nothing wrong with my physical health.
But now being forced out on a medical, do you have benefits then?
I do have benefits, thank God. That's why I took the medical, because I'm out honorably and I have VA benefits.
And
but
do
I
you
was
benefits
forced
for the
out.
What medical condition do you have that they made up?
PTSD. They tried, they did their best to try to tell everybody at that base that she's crazy and she was pushed out on the mental.
Well, I'm sure they always do that. So
that was their favorite tactic. That was their tactic, and they and so
with
they
no evidence
at all. So okay. I had already been in the military for 12 years at that point with absolutely zero negative anything on my record. So good luck trying to make me look bad.
Do you have medical benefits for PTSD?
I do have, I have the VA, but what was so angry is that I was pushed out at about 16 years. So I wasn't able to finish out my 20 to get my final retirement at like 65. I've got my VA benefits, but I have like 4 years that I wasn't allowed to finish for no reason. So people have told me that I could probably go back and finish it out working for the VA or something to finish out my 20 years of service for the government.
You just need four months, right?
Yeah. But they didn't allow me to finish my 20 years. So I still don't get, so like at 65 where I should have gotten a retirement for 20 years, I won't get that until I get this taken care of.
Even if you went back and worked for 4 years, then would you get your 20 years?
Yeah, I could go. I could probably work at the VA or the post office or something.
We're kind of getting off track, but
yeah,
because they almost are creating PTSD symptoms.
They created it for me.
I'm not saying you have it. I'm just saying with all the abuse, and we're going to get into that, and part of it pushing you out, but they are also, there's evidence of stalking and abuse. You know, you're a whistleblower on a very, very serious situation. And they don't want you talking. And there's evidence to show that they have been abusive towards you. And that in itself could create PTSD. So
they created the PTSD. No, they created a lot of the problems. I was deployed prior to that, but they've created more problems for me.
Yeah, and well, that didn't exist. I'm just saying,
it's
very hard to not develop some anxiety if you're constantly being attacked by the most powerful military in the world and you're there and you know it and nobody's taking you seriously. So now that you know Trump is taking that seriously, how does that make you feel?
Oh, I mean, I feel so much better that I was supported instead of retaliated against. I mean, you know,
it's like the first time.
Yeah, for the first time. Yeah, and the reason why, let's go back to, the reason why I know more people were involved is because of how many people I had contacted to try to get help after this happened to me. I contacted all the congressmen in Arizona, Congressman David Schweigert, and then, of course, Senator John McCain, who, you know, these people, they never even got back to me, let alone tried to help. That, to me, that's just very obvious that they knew about it and they were involved. I mean, that's your job. You know, if a soldier has explored all avenues of the military. Like, you're supposed to, if you can show to a congressman or a senator that, look, I have explored all avenues through the normal military channels. Now I'm going to you for help. And I showed proof that I had already explored everything. And that is their job as a Congress and Senator to do something after you already show that you've tried everything. What are you in your position for if you can't? You're not doing anything. No, Congressman Schweiger did absolutely nothing. His office was a joke. I contacted the entire Armed Forces Committee. They were mostly Democrats at the time. Nobody ever got back to me. I mean, this is a huge, huge, huge crime. Huge crime. And I showed proof that the article came out and all this money was missing and I was the one who reported it, and you still can't get back to me? You know, seriously, like, at that point, that's just obvious that you knew. You all knew that John McCain was doing this through that base. Shame on you, because they all knew. They all knew.
How do you know? How do you know it was John McCain doing it through that base versus... I mean, because we do know that there's a lot of evidence to show that the CIA and aspects of our FBI are involved in covering up and supporting this trafficking. I've had people and whistleblowers and a lot of people tell me this. So it is true. But how do you know, what kind of evidence did you get that John McCain himself was involved? I mean, he was, you know, he was from Arizona, but how do you know he was? What did you hear and what information did you get?
I started meeting people I started having people call me anonymously and tell me that it's John McCain, that it's that not, I had like anonymous phone calls and different things like that telling me, everybody knows that, if you involve John McCain, you're a dead man, you know, that kind of thing, those kind of calls. That everybody knows that, they said, here's what they said. Everybody knows that if you cross John McCain, you're a dead man, Debbie. Okay, so what does that tell you? That's what this guy told me.
If that doesn't help create PTSD, I don't know what else will. Uh-huh. So when John McCain died, mm-hmm. did that help you?
I believe.
Did you get less harassment?
I fully believe that that. They had finally gotten enough evidence on him, and I don't believe that he died of a brain tumor. I believe he was executed for treason and crimes against humanity. And I felt extremely relieved.
And you believe, you moved to, you're from Minnesota, but you ended up moving out of Arizona because you didn't feel safe there.
Yes.
And then you moved to South Dakota, but it seems like you are still being targeted by people in South Dakota who are corrupt. And you actually have a friend who was going to join you today, who was a state representative in the South Dakota Congress for a few years and ran for governor. And Laura Hubble.
Yeah.
And she supports your story as well and has her own version of all the corruption that she was introduced to. And unfortunately, we couldn't have her on today because she's not feeling well. But that really helps back your story that you're being targeted by this very corrupt local government as well. And I have found in my investigations, as corrupt as the big cities are, the small cities can almost be more corrupt. They can either be really good because the people there are like, not in my town, get out, or they're very corruptible. And you have run into some very corrupt people. Can you talk about some of the things that you have seen locally now that you thought you have been cleared from?
Yeah, so I wasn't having problems at first, I found out from her, I had met her. There was a lady that started bringing people in to speak in Aberdeen Civic Center, the whistleblowers and different things like that. She's a wonderful woman from Aberdeen that has been very supportive of me as well. And I had met Laura through her, and that she had connected us. And Laura was running for governor against the governor that's now governor of South Dakota named Kristi Noem. And Laura didn't even get a fair share. She was illegally taken off the ballot. So she has a pending federal lawsuit. So anyway, she was very upset about the whole thing, and then she heard about me, and I heard about her, and we started sharing notes, basically. And I told her, you know, that I think that a lot of my retaliation that I received and I'm still receiving is involving John McCain. And she said, oh, well, you know that John McCain was like best buddies with John Thune, right? Our senator. And I just about, you know, red flags, talk about red flags going up again. You know, I just about flipped out. I was, because I just seems like I couldn't go anywhere that was safe for me. I went to Minnesota, where I'm from, and to reconnect with my family, and I got retaliated against by the local police who were corrupt, same ones that came after Timothy Holmes.
And I remember seeing that you were pulled over all the time. I mean, like everything you did, they would pull you over in your car.
Yeah, this is a big situation that I think Trump needs to address right now. There's a whole section of pedo sheriffs. They're actually pedophiles. They're actually part of the pedophile human trafficking operation. And they're all over our country and they need to be cleaned out. They're part of it. I believe a lot of them are part of the Masons. That's my understanding. And that's what somebody else confirmed with me too, that a lot of them are Masons. And Daniel Lee has exposed this, that the Masons have been very much involved in human trafficking. It's a secret society. And there's a lot of police that are Masons. And so I think that's who is targeting me. So I think that it was John Thune that started targeting me in South Dakota, and also the sheriff there who's a Mason. So then I've been away. I've had to be away from South Dakota because Laura and I exposed a lot of things on Daniel Lee's show about the connections. Like she said, well, you know that that cement plant, that cement company that they found that was part of that huge child trafficking thing they found in Tucson. Well, you know, Debbie, that cement plant was our cement plant that we sold to John McCain. So we started making all these connections between South Dakota and Arizona. And so she made more. You can go back to, if people want to go back to Daniel Lee's show and find it's a state representative, Laura Hubble, on his show. She went into all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of natural resources in South Dakota that they've been after for years. And she had all kinds of evidence she was exposing about how they've been selling our natural resources, basically.
To China.
Yeah. Yeah,
which is a big deal. They're selling it without the people knowing. Now, who's pocketing the money?
It's treason. They've been committing treason.
But do they know who's taking the money? Who's taking the profit off those sales?
I don't know, but it definitely, you know, the people of South Dakota definitely didn't approve any of this. It's being, they're selling, and they've also, when Laura was running for governor, she also had all kinds of people tell her stories about how their land was illegally stolen from them. They're after the mineral rights of the land. So they just went in and stole the land from people and didn't give them any money for it or anything. And they've had no recourse.
The profit for the minerals should be theirs. But, you know,
they're after the mineral rights.
Has a lot of land and a lot of minerals. So that's too bad. They're trying to make it everything public. If you look at a map, farther west you go, the more it's owned by the government. You know, the government, and then that just goes into the coffers of private people. It's one big scam. But now, I'm really happy that you have the courage to come out and talk about this. You said that you've been working with people for whistleblowers. Have you been in contact with any national whistleblower organizations?
I've tried all the ones in the past that are supposedly whistleblower organizations. They really haven't been very helpful at all. President Trump has been extremely helpful. And that's really about it. Nobody really knows.
Well, I might be able to connect you to some people that might be able to help you.
Yeah, I haven't. The amount of retaliation and living hell that I've been through for 8 years, there's not a number or a cap or a financial. I mean, there's nothing you can, I mean, I can't even put a number on it. I've pretty much been in survival mode every day of my life for 8 years. So that's how 365 days times 8, you know, I haven't had one kind of resemblance of a normal life for 8 years. I've been in survival mode.
We're living in a war right now.
Yeah.
And taking these people down, and you're think of yourself as a soldier on the front.
Yeah, I do. I do. I became a soldier in a different way. After I became a soldier after this human trafficking thing, you know, stuff. I believe that God just had a different plan for me. You know, I believe that. I believe that I was just put on a different plan, and that I was purposely, I fully believe that I was used as, to expose this, and that God used me in a very unique way is my opinion. You know, I just feel that. I just feel that because nobody else really saw what I saw. So, and it's hard to explain. It's like, why did I see all this stuff? And it turned out to be completely true, all of it, you know? So.
Yep. Well, I just want to thank you so much for your courage and everything that you're going through. This will end. There'll be an end to this nightmare.
Thanks.
You know, the globalist terror that we're living through right now, there'll be an end to it. And thank you so much. Now, you have your own YouTube channel.
Yeah, I do.
And people can support you there. What is your YouTube channel?
So if you just type in Debbie Davis, I have the military uniform on. It's just Debbie Davis is my YouTube channel. And if you Google it, Debbie Davis, Arizona National Guard, you'll go to a couple of the videos. And so I have a couple of the videos. I actually put documents up where people can see all the people I contacted, all the congressmen, senators, and their letters back to me, which adds credibility, you know, to, I have all those documents of all the people I wrote into, and that never got back to me. So to me, that it says a lot about them, and what in the battle that he's up against with these guys. They don't really care. They don't care about the welfare of our country. I was very ashamed by the way that I was treated.
Oh no. That's why they're trying. That's the panic. That's why they're trying to take them down at every.
Oh my God. They were shameful
right now.
Our leaders were prior to Trump were just as shameful gets. I mean, they were just appalling. So I even had, I just want to add one more thing that because about that base, there's more to the story, too, that happened to me. I don't know if you want me to finish.
Yeah, keep. I didn't know that there was more. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, there's more to the story. Okay, so I'll just add this too. I've talked to a lot of the soldiers were told not to talk to me. Okay, they were told we're not allowed to talk to you, or we were told you were crazy because I was friends with people there. You know, it's not like everybody was crazy. You know, some of us got along fine. We just didn't know. But, and then, so one of the guys who was a maintenance guy, I recently talked to, that told me, that, you know, finally admitted to me that, he would go into certain offices of the building that I worked and, they were, there was openly, like Ouija boards on the office tables, Ouija boards and witchcraft type stuff, in the rooms. Because he would go there at night, he was the maintenance guy, and he told me that he openly saw like a Ouija board one time, and like some astrological type stuff, like witchcraft type stuff, at that base when he would go in and he was there to like maybe fix the air conditioning or something, and they were just like they had it like openly out. You know, Obama, he had, there was no laws against anybody being a witch or a warlock in the military under Obama. So that was allowed. That was allowed right on a military base.
Well, it's a freedom of religion. I'm into freedom. And unfortunately, freedom comes some of the worst things that you can, but their actions, of those people, they, you know, if they're going to hurt somebody, we're going after them hard. You can be.
Yeah.
It's like I mean, be a Satanist as much as I really despise that. But as soon as you act those actions out, we're nailing you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, of course, you know, people have the freedom of religion. You have that. We have free will. But when you start, exactly. To me, the human trafficking, to me, once your religion starts involving the killing and murdering of innocent people, it's no longer a religion. It's a criminal organization. How has that not crossed the line into not religion anymore? That has crossed the line for me to where it's no longer that you're just a Satanist and you know you have your own opinion. Now you've crossed the line into murder, and that means that you are. And if it's part of a whole organization where you've been involved in murdering hundreds upon thousands of during human trafficking and satanic ritual, that means you're no longer, it's not about religion anymore. It's about a criminal organization that needs to be stopped.
So what else did they see? I mean, they were told not to talk to you. They're told that you're crazy. They were smearing you, which is typical of they were smearing you, treating you like crap. What else happened that we didn't cover?
Okay. So some of the guys that in my unit that were concerned about me that heard what happened after I was also pregnant at the time all this happened. And I lost my child. So when I was working there full time, I was pregnant at the time. I was engaged. And, in a matter of like a 2 week period after I just finally had enough, and I finally, reported it to the governor, and we were just scared. We weren't trying to be snitches. We were scared. A whistleblower doesn't mean you're a snitch. A whistleblower means that you're concerned not only about your safety, but the safety of others.
Well, you want something better. You're whistleblowing on behavior that is not what they're supposed to do. I mean, they're criminal. Yeah. That's what you're whistleblowing on. And so you're a hero. You're doing your job as a soldier.
Yeah. Well, and they're supposed to be, there was supposed to be something called a Military Whistleblower Protection Act. And I thought, I thought that I would be protected under that. But that didn't matter if your officers don't uphold the law that you worked for. It's just, call me naive, but I was naive. I thought that it was supposed to work like it was supposed to in the military, and it didn't. And so that's why I was saying to somebody, I said, it's one thing if you join something like the CIA or the NSA, and you know what you're getting into. You know that you're going to be seeing top secret information, and you know that you're going to have to sign something. And if you say something, you could be murdered. And you sign these things. Okay, I was just a soldier. I accidentally saw illegal activity. I had no idea I was going to have to be in a situation like this. We all accidentally were exposed to this.
Even if the NSA and the CIA see illegal activity, it's really sad that they make them sign. You cannot tell anybody about all our illegal activity. It's all top secret so that we have complete immunity.
Right, right.
The most evil bastards that you'll ever know. Because we rule the world, it's top secret, and you'll die because you signed this contract, and you're signed blood oath to keep it secret because it's national security. In reality, I'm covering up my evil crimes, but keep going.
Yeah, no, I don't know what they actually signed, but I know that I've seen some of the CIA whistleblower guys that say, we were told to sign something, so I was afraid to talk until now. That kind of thing. I don't know what they're told to sign, but...
Well, I've just heard enough that there's so much national security issues. I know people who have done amazing work, like Jimmy Boots, Detective Rothstein, who got too close and they shut him down for national security reasons. It happens all the time. People doing the best work, people actually securing our country, doing work that protects our country, are shut down for national security. The very opposite upside down. If you kept them going, our nation would be safer. But because you shut them down for national security reasons, we're so much less safe because of your actions than if you would have let them go forward and continue their rooting out evil. But, that's why we have to keep working. That's why people like you are so important.
I think I was just a really unique key in the puzzle for Trump and for them trying to put all the pieces together that I think they're finally putting together with the human trafficking.
Yep, and it's broad, and there's a lot to it. And hopefully the Epstein stuff starts to open people's eyes as well. But again, thank you so much. Debbie Davis on YouTube, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else before we end this out?
Oh, well, let me just finish the last part of what they did to me at the base. It was just the end of the retaliation. Just tells you how crazy these people were. So I had I had some soldiers that were worried about me after all this had happened. I had just lost my my job, my military career, and my child. Okay, so I went into a depression, as we can imagine. And I had a soldier reach out to the Command Sergeant Major there. Command Sergeant Major Chad Walker is his name. And said that we're concerned about her, and then she hasn't been to drill. You know, that I was excused from drill. I was just, you know, I wasn't taking phone calls or anything. I was totally freaked out. So Command Sergeant Major Walker called me, and he acted like he was concerned, you know, sincerely, and said, "Well, why don't you come in and we'll talk about it and we'll see what we can do." So I finally agreed, and he said, "Come and meet me at the base." And I drove into the base. It's this base. If nobody knows where I'm talking about, it's on 52nd and McDowell in Scottsdale, Arizona. It's the Arizona National Papago Military Base. There's a big butte mountains around it. So I drove in, and he had armed MPs waiting for me. Armed MPs waiting there, and I pulled in. He has me stop. He takes my keys. He has the MPs escort me out of the car, and they take me to a mental health facility. And then when I got back, I had a tracking device put on my vehicle.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, so this is what they used to push me out on a medical. And then when I got to the mental health place, he told me to say, "You're checking in at your own will." And he was like intimidated. He intimidated me and said, "You're checking in at your own will, of your own will." And this is what they used to push me out on a medical. Okay, so, and there was no help for me. I was just, you know, there. Yeah, and from that point on, and I said, so then Scottsdale has a spy store in it. And I when I got back in my car, all kinds of weird electrical things were off. Okay, so I had a feeling that they did something to my car. So I brought it in, I had it scanned, and they had put a tracking device on it. So this just tells you these people were not normal.
Did you take it off? Did you get it removed?
Yeah, they said it would have been like $400 to take it off. I ended up selling that car not too long after that, and I got a new vehicle. So I never paid the money to take it off. But yeah, they were tracking me. They were trying to find out how much I knew, which I really didn't know that much. You know, I just saw a few things that seemed to all point towards money. You know, didn't really take much to put it together when you've been working there for 6 years, you know? They're crazy at that base. And I've received many phone calls from soldiers that did admit, that have admitted that they had similar major discrimination and major intimidation, frightening experiences. But then I had a lot of soldiers that were scared to talk.
Did they leave? So, are people leaving? Does that base bleed people? I mean, do they?
My friend who is a maintenance guy there who saw the Ouija boards and things, he said, "I always have a job here. The only reason why I have a job here is because so many people leave. I constantly have a job here because there's so many people that leave." Nobody stays.
Don't like to work in those environments. Normal people don't like it. They can feel it. It's not right.
Yeah, there's something not right. So, Trump is aware of the situation. I'm sure certain things have been already cleaned up, but there was a major problem with corruption throughout the entire military, you know, for many years. So that, you know, takes time for everything to get cleaned up. And I know that there, you know, Daniel Lee has talked about this with the Navy, had a major problems with admirals being corrupt, and, you know, it's just the whole military had to be cleaned up, but that base was a particularly bad one. So, you know, anyway, that's pretty much all I was going to share, you know, at that point. But yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad I gave you the opportunity to continue, because some of those stories are just crazy.
Oh yeah, no, I just, if we're talking about the whole story of retaliation, I wanted to finish and tell you that part.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe when that's your job as a command sergeant major to take care of my health and welfare, and then you go and they had armed guards waiting for me as if I was some kind of like major criminal showing up at the base instead of a instead of somebody needing help.
That's terrible. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
About that. Yeah.
Oh no, it was terrifying. It just was terrifying. So anyway, it gives you a pretty big idea of how corrupt it was in the military prior to Trump, I think.
Yeah, and Trump, I've heard this from a lot of people, that Trump is really, he's more supportive of the military, he's more supportive of our police forces, of the good people who are trying to make a difference. A lot of people have just been crying for help. They don't want to be part of a police force that's hurting people.
And yeah.
So good. Well, thank you.
Okay.
You're on YouTube under Debbie Davis and anywhere else that people, do you have a website or anything that you run as well, or just?
I just have the YouTube right now, but I can give my email and my phone number.
Let's your email and then.
Just email. Okay. MWTECH 2008@gmail.com.
Okay, and I'll put that up so people can reach that, and then I'll put it below, and then if they want to contact you, they can do that, and it's better than a voice, you know, phone number at this point.
Yeah, I don't have a Patreon or anything set up. I don't really know how to do any of that. I'm going to get a P.O. box. I had a P.O. box for a while. If people want to contact me that way, I'll set up a P.O. box again. So people can, because a lot of people are afraid to call me or email me because they don't want to be tracked, they said. So I'll set up a P.O. box and people can contact me there. But any support or help in any way is just, very much appreciated. And I thank you for having me on my show.
Oh, you're welcome. If you get your P.O. box soon, I'll put it up on the show
notes. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Okay.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Sarah. Okay. All right.
I am proud to offer another great product, ProxyStem Stem Cell Pro. This amazing product supports 8 areas of stem cell health, including the AMPK gene, which in a UCLA study, researchers showed in an animal model that by increasing the amount of AMPK in the body, they can increase a healthy lifespan by approximately 30%. mTOR inhibition. The mTOR inhibition has extended mouse mean lifespan by 33%. Also, biogenesis. The additional PQQ triggers mitochondrial biogenesis, which increases the number of mitochondria in your cells. These are the powerhouses of your cells. The energy-hungry brain and heart is believed to benefit greatly from PQQ. ProxyStem ingredients also increases the amount of telomerase protein that cells make when they are in a state of telomerase activation. With all the healthy cell benefits, this formula is the most advanced formula we have seen on the market. Also, with RevGenetics brand new formula, it comes in a lower price. This means you're getting the best price anywhere for this product. Click the link below to see studies and to buy yours today.